Well, here's what happened. A Jewish man was beaten, robbed, and left for dead along the road. A priest and a Levite passed by on the other side of the road, and then a Samaritan man stopped to help him, bandaged up the wounded man's broken body, brought him to an inn, and paid the innkeeper to care for him. So the moral of this story is, love thy neighbor as thyself. This is true, of course. But then there's the historical context of the story. There's a deeper meaning. Jews despised Samaritans, and Samaritans weren't fond of Jews either. So when you think about it in that light, the real moral of the story is, love thy neighbor as thyself, even when thy neighbor is of a different race or religion. And love thy neighbor as thyself, even if your neighbor doesn't like you. Christ calls us to exemplify his love by loving not only our friends, but strangers and even our enemies. I'm Bill Armstrong of Colorado Christian University, where we're devoted to loving Jesus, trusting the Bible, and championing faith, family, and freedom. Check us out at www.ccu.edu. And by the way, stay tuned for You Get the Blessing with my friends Bo Mitchell and Bob Belts coming up next.
Nice choice, Lori. Welcome, everybody. I'm Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. And this is Centerfield. Who's singing this? John Fogerty. All right. Let's hear it a little bit. Glad you tuned in.
Well, I beat the drum and hold
the phone. Getting to be baseball time, Bo.
The sun came out today. We're born
again. Good song, Fogerty wrote.
There's new grass on.
Another year of Major League Baseball, and I have never been invited to play in the major leagues.
I think there's a reason for that.
It's unbelievable to think about it. I'm 65 years old now. Come on. I'm just looking for one at bat. This is You Get the Blessing. My co-host today is Chuck King. He is the Dean Emeritus of the School of Business at Colorado Christian University, still a professor there, one of the smartest men you'll ever meet or hear from in your life. Chuck, thanks for sitting in today.
It's great to be here, Bo.
Pinch hitting.
For Bob Belts, who is the smartest man you've ever met.
He's pretty smart. Bob, wherever you are, you're slipping. And my guest today is a really good friend of mine, 15 years the general manager of our own Colorado Rockies, Dan O'Dowd. Dan, good to see you and welcome.
Bo, always great to be in your presence. And Bob, very nice to meet you today, too.
Nice to meet you.
So it's been a rough year. My wife, I've been in my fourth year because of Dan with the Rockies, and my wife, Gary, said to me a number of times this year, you don't like going down there anymore, do you? And I said, well, it's been a rough year. And if you haven't been reading your papers lately or keeping track of the Rockies, Dan stepped down as our general manager, and it was kind of awkward in times and painful, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, there aren't many times in your life where God puts some on your plate, a distinct path of a decision-making, whether you can choose personal safety or you can honor him by making the right decision based on your own set of values and character that he's put in your heart. And so for me, it was a pretty clear-cut decision. And of course, as we all know in life, you only grow when you become uncomfortable. So it's been a period I call the land in between. So, and with that comes some, some times of being uncomfortable.
Well, Chuck, prayed me through some of those tough days. I had the easy part of it, and Chuck was a very good friend through that.
Good job, Chuck.
And he knows what we went through all year. Dick Monfort was great through the whole process. We lost a few other guys with the Rockies. We'll not talk about them today, but I know not only starting spring training without going as the general manager, I know you also lost a dear friend and mentor, Hank Peters, and you lost your father, Marty O'Dowd, all with just in a matter of weeks. So it's not been the easiest sledding for you, has it?
Yeah, certainly. Start of 2015 has, you know, bought me some unique challenges in my life. But, you know, I have a unique view on death. And I feel the person that has the blessing of death gets to spend the rest of his life in eternity. I have no doubt that Hank and my dad, you know, are in eternity and sharing all the joys of what that may be like. I think the painful part is the people that get left behind. But I have tremendous memories from both men, and they're both tremendous influences in my life. Hank was my mentor in the game of baseball and really gave me my foundation of values and how I look at things. And obviously my dad was one of my best friends.
Well, let's talk about that just a second. Death. We do, as Christians, Christian means somebody that is a follower of Christ, and we do, Chuck, pass from life to life. It's not the end. My problem is I'm not ready to say goodbye. I guess we never
are. You don't get to choose that all the time, though.
Yeah, it's...
I think there's always a fear of the unknown. You'd prefer the known to the unknown, which is exactly what Dan's going through in this life right now,
sure,
is the unknown. And that's the thing that we hate most about change, I think.
You know, I think it's unique gift as Christian men is that I've learned so much over the last 15 years, but I've really learned a lot from Bo over the last four. He's made such a dramatic influence on my life and so many people's lives with the Rockies. But this control issue that we feel specifically as men, but I think as all human beings, is that, you know, we try to take from the past and control what happened in the past, and then we try to control what's going to happen in the future. But in reality, it's biblically referenced over and over again that, you know, we need to spend focused on today because God's going to take care of tomorrow, and the only thing you can deal with the past is what you've learned from the past. And I think when you start really getting a conscious effort of what life is all about, you realize this control issue is one that you've got to give up.
So I wanted to really take the first few minutes of the program and let everybody know Dan O'Dowd is alive and well. So is his wife Jackie and his wonderful children, all of them, Chris and Lexi and Jack. And I'm proud of the way you've transitioned, and part of that transition is into what maybe you'll do for a while with the Major League Baseball Network, but tell us about how God provided that for you.
Well, you know, I don't know definitely that's provided, but he certainly, it was a blessing almost.
You mean you've stepped out of his will?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Is that, so I think that's going to take place, but that's up to MLB Network to announce.
Oh, sorry.
So, you know, but it was a blessing. It came completely out of the blue, and, you know, I jumped up, and I joked I had the longest audition. I think I did going on 12 shows, so I think I was on this constant audition. So either they really liked me and keep inviting me back, or they really weren't sure, so they kept inviting me back.
But it's, well, you're great at it, I can tell you that.
It was a blessing because, it, you know, it allows me to, I mean, I love the game of baseball. I've loved the game of baseball since I was old enough to remember that I love the game of baseball. So it allows me to stay connected, and it allows me to talk about the game that I love, and I've learned so much over the last 32 years, and I learned a lot over the last six, which is almost comical. It took me 26 years to really learn a lot over the last 6 years. So I think I became more of a listener over the last six than I were in the prior 26. But I'm excited about it. Anytime I can stay connected to something that I love so passionately, I feel like I'm blessed.
You just quoted a great line from The Natural, by the way. I believe in that movie, Redford's girlfriend says, I think we have one life we learn with and then another life we live with after we learn.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true, too. That's really good. I have to remember that, Bo.
Good movie.
Dan, I know Bo has told me so much about you and his admiration for you and the way you deal with adversity, the way you deal with life in general. Bring me up to date on how you got there. Take me back to your childhood and what made Dan O'Dowd who Dan O'Dowd is?
Well, I think we're, you know, I'm a big believer that we all live our lives in boxes. And I think that the boxes are exist and consist of our life experiences. And, you know, I think only growth happens when you get outside those boxes, though, too. So, I mean, my life was not a very simple life. My dad was a dairy farmer. My dad graduated with a high school degree. My mom had a high school degree. My mom did a million odds and end jobs to make our ends meet. My father left at 3 o'clock in the morning. He was sound asleep every night by 7 because he got up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Where did you grow up?
A little town called Pine Brook, New Jersey. They did have farms in New Jersey back then.
Okay.
My dad worked in a dairy business until he was into his early 80s. I have an older brother, great guy, totally different from me. He was a non-athlete. He was a scholar. And so normal upbringing, great parents, great values. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, which was a unique experience in itself. And, you know, I was just really blessed with a ton of aunts and uncles and relatives and things like that. But I had a very yearning, Chuck, at a very young age not to stay there. And I think God put it on my heart, though I didn't realize any of that at the time, that my life was going to be different than, you know, than my dad. My dad was a big believer that the only reason why he worked as hard as he did was to provide a better life for my brother and I, and to do something much different than what he did, because he didn't feel like that was a life he wanted either his sons to live. So I went to college down in Florida, Rollins College, on a baseball scholarship. It was very hard for my family financially to afford to send me to anything but a public school near our home, and I wanted to get away from home. And then I got out of college. I interned for the commissioner's office in New York City. I was very blessed. I was, two people got hired out of about 25,000 applicants. And I tell the story and over again. When I went in for my final interview, I was the only candidate there that did not have a graduate degree or didn't come from an Ivy League school.
Wow.
And so I said I had nothing to lose. And I felt the spirit of God inside of me during that whole day, but I didn't even realize that at the time. It's when I reflect back on that, because I was in a zone that was a unique zone to be in. My first job was with the Baltimore Orioles by Hank Peters, and I sold tickets out of a little ticket booth on East 33rd Street to the locals that came up, because there was only one ticket window in Baltimore where the Colts and the Orioles played, and that was my first job. And then,
who were the players on the Orioles then?
Oh, that was, that was the beginning of the Eddie Murray, Cal Ripken era.
Wow.
Joe Altobelli was the manager back then. Earl Weaver had just left, and then he came back later. And in 1982, we got to the final weekend against the Brewers and got beat in the last day to get in the postseason. I remember Hank specifically telling me, I was a peon then, Bo. I was just another guy in the office working hard just to get ahead. And he said, Daniel, we're going to win a World Series next year. And he said, and Earl Weaver retired at the end of that year. And he goes, I'm going to hire a manager that doesn't screw that up. And I'll be darned if they didn't go out and win the World Series in 1983.
Really?
So, yeah, he was very prophetic that way. So I was with Hank for up until 1988. He became the president of the Cleveland Indians, and I went over and I ran their scouting and development program, and I was there for 13 years.
So, and then on to Denver.
Then on to Denver. I had three job opportunities when I left the Rockies. I had was offered the GM position of the Mariners. Left the Indians, the Mariners, the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Rockies.
And Stepped up to the right place.
Yeah,
my friend.
I think it was Kelly McGregor that I really felt this this draw to him. I don't know what you want to call it, but this soul to soul type thing, that he's a person I wanted to be around.
One of a kind leader, passed away how many years ago now? 4 or 5?
Yeah, 2010. So it's gone in a blink of an eye, and it taught me a valuable lesson. Now life goes on. So life goes on with the Rockies too, even though I left. So
that's really when I kind of got involved with you guys and got to know all of you a little bit. Was I got a call from Greg Fiesel, asking me to help with getting
right.
Kelly's body.
Yeah, you were wonderful during that period of time.
Well, it was tough. I felt so bad for all of you. I'm not sure that organization, I should say our organization, is fully recovered from losing a guy like Kelly.
Yeah, he was a unique man, and I learned a lot from him. And again, I'm sure that's one of the reasons why God brought me here, is that, he wanted me to be around a person that was as strong in his faith as Kelly was.
You've made a number of references, Dan, that God was working in your life, but you weren't aware of it at the time. When did you become aware of God's presence in your life and develop a personal relationship with him?
I joke about that. I don't think there was one defining day. I just knew I started to ask the question, why, a lot. Why do I do what I do? Why do I do it the way I do it? And is there a better way to go about living my life? But, Chuck, honestly, I don't think it was until 6-7 years ago that I slowed down enough to really start asking myself those questions. So people say to me, like Bo, prior to us talking, he said, I'm going to ask, when Christ was introduced in your life. For me anyway, personally, it's on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Is that if it doesn't happen on a daily basis, I'm not a strong enough faith to be able to withstand the attacks of Satan, which I think are real in today's world. So for me, it's a relationship that happens on a daily basis, quite honestly, on a moment by moment basis, because that's when it's realest. It's the most real in my life.
I think sometimes we get so caught up in what's going on around us in the world that we don't realize the gravity of the thing. Obviously, Kelly McGregor was a big influence in your life. Bo's been an influence in your life. And that's probably more important than all the other things Kelly did in baseball.
Oh, no doubt. What Bo and Kelly have done for me in my life, now that I've left the Rockies and I'm transitioning to a whole nother, hopefully 15 to 20, 25 great years of my life, I can look back on, the thing that I take the most out of my time with the Rockies has nothing to do with the game of baseball, but has everything to do with the growth that I've had as a person, as a father, as a husband, as a Christian, you know, and I feel like as a difference maker.
So you're listening there to our guest today, Dan O'Dowd, former general manager for 15 years of the Colorado Rockies, stepped down this year to pursue a few other things that are coming his way. In the last 4 years, Dan and I have worked together, and it's been a great blessing for me, primarily just because we connected so sure. thoroughly right out of the gate. But we owe it to the listeners to talk some baseball. So tell our listeners what spring training is all about, because it's not like a tryout camp for these
yeah.
guys, but how would you describe it?
Well, I think spring training for me, first of all, Bo, as I told you, is the greatest time of the year for me because the wins and losses don't count. But it's also a great time of year for me because it's the only time through the course of a 12-month calendar year that the entire major league group and our player development group are together under one roof. And our training facility, the Rockies training facility, I've got to get out of R. It's got to be eliminated
okay.
from my
You'll
vocabulary.
Always be part of the family.
I think it's the finest training facility in all professional sports. So it lent itself to this culture of togetherness. And so it was a great time to establish authentic relationships. It was a great time to create a common vision of what we were trying to accomplish collectively.
And all the minor leaguers are right there.
And all the minor league players were there, too. And, you know, from a business standpoint, from a personnel model standpoint, I think what you find out about in spring training is the versatility of your roster, the depth of your roster. So you try to put as many different players in as many different situations you possibly can. Because on an average, over the last 5 years at the major league level, you've used almost between 35 and 45 players. Last year in 2014, almost every club in the game used almost 40 players. So
you have 25 men at a time that could be on your major league roster, but you're saying with injuries and
whatever. Either non-performance or injuries or just attrition from personal situations that you're going to, you know, the depth of your organization is always going to be challenged when you play 162 games in 183 days. So spring training is a marvelous time to be able to examine the versatility and flexibility and the impact of your depth. And it's a good time for the staff at the major league level for me to bond into one operating unit because they're around each other so much and the daily interaction is so great that it really can cement, because we all know that, you know, talent's required at the major league level, but character ultimately is what determines whether you win or lose and whether it's sustainable over the long run.
And spring training is the time when you're rounding all those thoughts up really.
Yeah, for me, it was a time to reach out and touch people on a daily basis. And I didn't try to spend too much time in my office, though the demands administratively of the job was something that I always wished I didn't have so much of, because I felt like one of the regrets that I have is I didn't get out enough to really touch people with some of the gifts that I know God blessed me with to touch people. I did better the last few years, but I wish I had done that more consistently over the 15 years I was there.
Don't be too hard on yourself. I think you're one of a kind.
You know, it's interesting from a non-insider's point of view. We always think about baseball players and professional athletes in terms of the skills and all the things we see. And what I hear you talking about is not the skill things, but the relationships. I know that that's part of the reason Bo went to the Rockies.
Correct.
Was to help with that relationship. And I think that's true in business. It's true in baseball. And yet we ignore that all the time.
Yeah, Bo's title for me there was, it could have been everything it is. But for me, it was, you know, the director of hope tied to the development of character and leadership within our culture. And, I just read an article that I passed along to Bo that was in ESPN, the magazine, about how the Patriots, the players really attributed their season to Bill Belichick hiring somebody almost identical to Bo, you know, to be a person in the clubhouse, talking about issues like love. You know, men don't talk about love at all. But ultimately, the greatest impact that we can have in other people's life is to get them to experience love from the inside out. Most leadership models and everything that's done in our secular world is developed from the outside in. But what truly is impactful when you can develop a group of men for a common cause, but they feel it from the inside out? Because I think real change only happens in your life when it starts in the core of your heart. I say this, Chuck, all the time. I ask people a simple question. So why did God put when he created man, why did he center the heart in the middle of the body? It's because it's the balance in our life. It's the center of our life. It's the existence of our life. But you need to experience what your heart is. The most powerful, impactful part of your soul is within that inner being of your heart. And when you can get that from the inside out and you can create a team of that, then you have something exceptionally, you know, special. It's really difficult to make that happen.
So, Bo, being that that's what you get paid to do, how do you do that?
Paid is a really loose word.
Yeah, that's right.
Right there, too.
Hey, I'm grateful for being a part of the team, and I'm there because of Dan. It's just interesting. It takes different shapes on different days. So Dan and I together had a lot of programs in mind that hopefully we'll still get to roll out.
Yeah, we talked about, you know, Made as a Rocky every day. And the one thing sports in general has, and I think it's because of the, you know, I'm not blaming the media because, you know, heck, I'm part of it now, but there is a cynicism involved in sports that creates a negative environment. What Bo does is he permeates that negativism by the optimism of what he represents on a daily basis. And he picks people up and he reminds players and staff, you know, this is what you do, but this is not who you are. And because you've got to have perspective in the field of sports or the game itself, whether it's any sport, it will destroy you. When sport becomes your God, then you are idolizing an idol God. And that leads to really bad things.
Okay, here's what we're going to do, because Dan is right in your category in terms of being one of the most intelligent, well-spoken guys I know. I'm going to play some word association rapid fire. So you got to give me these answers quickly.
Give it a shot.
We're down to the last 6 minutes. Let's start with Jackie O'Dowd. You got to say who this is and a little comment.
Yeah, my wife of 25 years, beautiful, intellectually gifted, and the most giving, sincere, wonderful person I've ever been around.
Walt Weiss.
Empathetic, character, convicted, and doggedly persistent.
Competitor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, how about, you're going to really have to explain this one. Jeff, John, Zach, and Zach.
It's the new management team of the Rockies. And I would say...
Give their names. Jeff Brightish,
Jeff Brightish, Zach Wilson, Zach Rosenthal, John Weil.
And Dan put these guys in place, and we're in good hands.
Yeah, brilliant, great character, strong family values, and really good baseball men, very determined, and they're as collectively as a team, as good as any in the game.
Transformational versus transactional leadership.
Transactional leadership is what the world really exists on. It's based on worldly success and what you can do for me now. It's basically how people lead. Transformational leadership is when you truly, authentically connect with another person's heart and make a difference that's lifelong, and through that, performance increased exponentially.
Troy Tulowitzki.
Tenacious, talented, competitive, learning how to trust. And very good values, value-driven.
Chris O'Dowd, your son, great catcher, great guy.
Christian leader, compassionate, trusting, forgiving, positive. You know, it's a weird relationship that I learn more from my son than he learns from me.
And weird in the good sense every way, because this guy is, I don't know what the Lord has for Chris, but it's going to be good stuff.
I agree with you, Bo, completely.
One of a kind. And just traded, unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, for everybody's sake, maybe good, from the Colorado Rockies to the Atlanta Braves.
Yep, again, that's another one of those control issues that you just know that God's got a plan, and you walk by faith and not by sight.
How about the value of team chemistry?
To me, it's the most impactful value in competitive sports. It's difficult to create. It's hard to hold on to. But when you get it, it takes lesser talent and makes it into something extremely special. And I would say that was 2007.
How about Jim Thorpe, Bo Mitchell, and Larry Walker. The three
exceptionally talented athletes, world-class at what they do.
Attaboy, I knew you could say that. How about Dan O'Dowd's future?
Endless, you know, the still writing a book, and I'm going to keep writing it until I get a chance to make sure that the last chapter is the way God wants it to be.
And while he's here, Chuck, Chuck's still a professor at Colorado Christian University, great man of God and great leader and great professor. The kids love him, but I'm authorizing that you connect.
So you're setting me up for to do some more work here.
You
huh?
should bring him out to talk to your leadership class because he is one of the best public speakers, and he connects with audiences of all ages. So will you do that for me?
I'll absolutely do that. It'll be our treat.
You have to give me a lot of time, though.
Yeah, he needs at least a full hour. So tell the kids, you got a lot of things he can cover. Well, Dan, I love you, and I thank God at a later, not fourth quarter, but later stage in life, I've met a friend like you, and we've gotten so close.
Yeah, Bo, same thing. You've made such a difference in my life. I think one of the sadness that I had leaving the Rockies that caused me such consternation was not being able to interact with you on a daily basis the way we were.
Well, when you get the new place built, just put a bedroom there for me because, you know, I'll be Cousin Eddie. I'll show
it's going to be real hard to drive from Florida to here, though, to be able to do this show. So you might have to do it via radio.
We will do it via radio. So that's Dan O'Dowd, who for 15 years has blessed us in Denver with his leadership skills. Right there with Dick Monfort, Kelly McGregor, Greg Fiesel, Hal Roth, taking us to the World Series in 07 and leaving us a legacy here that I think will last for years because Jeff Brightish, John Weil, Zach Rosenthal, and Zach Wilson, it's like getting four aces, and you trained them, didn't you?
Well, you know, I humbly say they took all the good things that I did and got rid of all the bad things I represented too. So humbly, I'd say they're just a great group of kids, and their parents did a good job.
Gentlemen, this has been a real treat for me. Thanks for allowing me to be a part of this. And I think for myself and probably for most of our listeners, you put some flesh on the bones that we hear about all the time. We think of baseball players as some sort of superhuman beings, but the fact is they need love too.
Yeah, I think one of the words I should have used for Troy was vulnerable when Bo asked that. And when you're vulnerable in life is when most your greatest growth happens.
I'm looking for great things from Troy this year. So, listeners, if you don't grab everything we're saying, understand this comparison. Baseball, each year, new grass on the field, like the song says, springtime, fresh start, new beginning. In your own life, if you just don't feel like you have that right now, know that God, through Jesus Christ, wants to have a relationship with you. And through his work on the cross, has the power to forgive you of each and every sin you've ever committed and wants to do that. So don't think of yourself as unworthy of making this team. Think of yourself as somebody that's been in God's school and has learned and now is going to choose, yes, I accept Christ. I want to get started with this. So darken the doors of a church today or go visit a friend and know that without even knowing you, we all love you. And hope that we're partners in Christ for years and years to come. Dan O'Dowd, I love you.
I love you too, Bo.
Thanks for being here.